Back from a great engagement on the road. No, not really. Praise the Lord. I mean, we got a lot of talent in this place, right? Oh, yeah. Wow. Man. I could use somebody laying hands on me to impart some of that. Singing, absolutely. I was in a fraternity when I was in college. We won three interfraternity sings. But they said, please, Dave, don't sing. Just mouth the words. We'll be all right. We'll win it if you... So, all right. I am really pumped about this message this morning. We're going to talk to you about how to see the hundredfold return. And the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes to some revelation in the Word of God that I believe we can impart to you will be a blessing to you. How many are ready to receive that today? So turn to your neighbor and say, hope you're ready to receive it. So, Father, we just thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. We thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that your word will not return void to you, but it will accomplish what you please. And, Father, we thank you that that's going to happen today. And we believe in for the hundredfold return in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Okay, so let's start. I give you these sheets if you're new. I give these as handouts so you can take notes. And if you forget, how many know it's easy to forget, right? And you can write these things down and go back over them this week and restudy them. Okay, so the first question is, how are we supposed to hear God's word? How are we supposed to hear it? So the Bible tells us how to hear it. So let's look at a few of these scriptures. First one is... We'll go for it. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, King James Version. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Look at your neighbor and say, take heed how you hear. We need to personalize it. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. God doesn't do it. The enemy does it because we haven't grasped how to hear. So it's essential how we hear the word of God. Okay? So the filling is, it is essential how we hear. You can fill that in. And then let's look over at Mark chapter 4, 16 through 17 in the Passion Translation. And I'm going to give you the fill-in for you before we actually read it. Are we surprised when warfare, that's the fill-in, warfare, arises because of the word? I've heard a lot of people say, I thought this worked. Wrong question. Wrong answer, right? How many know God's word never fails? It's us that give up too soon, right? Lean over and tell your neighbor, don't give up. Say, press in. All right. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. 16 and 17. And what is sown on gravel, say, that's not me. What is sown on gravel represents those who hear the message and receive it joyfully. Say, that's me. But I'm not gravel. But because their hearts fail to sink a deep root. Like, you hear the word, you say, well, that was inspiring. And you go out the door and somebody said, what did he speak on today? I don't know, but it was inspiring. You know, that's not a good way to answer. So they receive the message, receive it joyfully, but because their hearts fail to sink a deep root, tell your neighbor you got to sink a deep root in the word. They don't endure for long. How many have known people like that? Where are they now? All right. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of what? The message, the word. Satan's after the word. Tell your neighbor that. Said, Satan's after the word in your heart. But say, you're not going to let him take it. Because you know why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Praise the Lord. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of the message, they immediately wilt and fall away. Wow. Okay. Then we must start with a teachable heart. That's the next fill-in, a teachable heart. Let's look at Luke 8:15 in the Passion Translation, and then we'll go to the others. The seed fell into good ground. Say, that's mine. Say, I'm good ground. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth. How many lovers of truth do we have here? You would not be here if you were not a lover of truth, guarantee you, especially in this place, right? I used to kid people. I don't do this anymore. I say, well, I'm glad you're here in our service. You know, we are lively. We love to really worship God. We really love to get into it. And, you know, sometimes I just like to roll in the aisles. So if you're next to me, you just stand back, you know, and they look at me like, is this guy for real? What's the deal? All right, we don't do that, but okay, so they respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. Many of you have done that, if not all. Okay, this is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. Say, I'm a much fruit person. Let's move on to the others. For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation. 30, 60, 100-fold, right? Yes. Right. Until he has more than enough. I want us to say by faith, I have more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, some people come in, oh, I know that message. Oh, really? They really don't, you know. Even the understanding that they think they have, whoa, will be taken from them. Say, that's not me. That's why I teach people using parables, Jesus said, because they think they're looking for truth, yet because of their hearts are unteachable, whoa, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message that I speak. Wow, let's go. I think there's a... Is there another one there? Yeah, there is. Okay. So Jesus answered and said, okay, how many know, remember the story of the lepers, the 10 lepers, right? Jesus healed them, didn't he? Yep. Right? But only one of them returned to what? To give thanks, right? So Jesus answered and said, this guy's kneeling, he's worshiping, and Jesus said to him, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? And he said to this guy, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This word, whole, in the New Testament Greek, means this guy got more than he bargained for. He not only had the leprosy removed, but his limbs were restored. Praise God. Because he came to give thanks. And I had preached that on another day. But we need to be thankful. One of the ways we receive the word is we receive it with a thankful heart. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you have a thankful heart. Years ago, God led me to Annapolis, Maryland. And I had just gotten out of seminary. And I said, where are you going to send me, Lord? Where are you going to send me? And he said, I want you to go. You're going to get a call in about 30 days. From one of the guys that graduated a year ahead of you, and he's going to invite you to come down and help him pastor this new work that has started. So, sure enough, within 30 days, I got a telephone call, and I went down, just went on faith. Well, Pastor David, did they tell you how much you'd get? No. Did they tell you where you're going to stay? No. So you just went by faith? Yeah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had already cued me that that would happen, right? And so how many know he's as good as his word? Absolutely. So I get down there, you know, and I remember I still didn't have a place to stay. You know, I was living with Charlie Beck and his wife. How many know that's not good after a while? That gets old, right? And so I'd been with him about a week or two. And so I'm in the meeting. I have $30 to my name. That's all I have left. So the Holy Spirit, we're in this meeting. We have these two speakers had come in, and they were really good. They were faith guys. And I wanted to bless him. And I said, how much should I put in the offering today? Lord says, how much you got in your wallet? I don't know if he's ever done that to you, but get ready. We're not going to take an offering. Don't worry about it. And the Lord said, how much do you have in your wallet? I said, $30. He said, that's about the amount I was thinking about. You know, so go ahead and do it. So I did. Now, I didn't go after service. I didn't have a tin cup with pencils, you know, and please help me. I didn't do that. And I just looked happy and everything. This guy comes walking up to me. He said, Dave, man, we are so happy you're here. He said, this is going to be a great blessing to our fellowship. And he said, the men got together, we got together, and here's a check for $300. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my... 10 times, right? How many know it always pays to obey the Lord? Do what he tells you, right? I can't afford it. Well, you can't afford not to, right? Okay. So how you hear is the key. If we're going to receive a full, hundredfold return, we have to be teachable, and we have to open our hearts to do what God tells you to do. How are you hearing? How? The second part, what are we to hear? What are we to hear? Let's look at Mark 4, 23 through 25. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto him, take heed what you hear. Remember the first verse we looked at? Take heed what? How you hear. This says, take heed what you hear. Sometimes we can just pass over words. But how many know every word has meaning and a purpose, especially in the Bible, especially in Scriptures? If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to him, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet or receive it or give to it. Right? That's old King James. But it shall be measured to you. So you say, well, I want to hear with a hundredfold hearing. I want to do whatever he tells me to do. If he tells me to give $100, I'm not going to give 30. I'm not going to even give 60. I'll give the 100 because I'm hearing with a hundredfold return in my mind. Whatever God tells me. Take heed what you hear with the measure you meet. The measure is 30, 60, 100-fold. It shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. How many want to be in that category? All right? That means if you're obedient to God and you follow through, then he will follow through with you. He will always be faithful to you. For he that has, this is heavy, to him shall be given. And to him that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. I don't want to be in that category. Don't want to be. Okay. I want to be in the first category. Okay. So, there is eternal truth that never changes. Getting ready to give you the fill-in. Many believers entertain mixture. I'm sure many of you have, and that's not just in money, but in everything. You've heard people say, does God still heal? Yeah, he does. All the time. We just have to stay open to it, right? I remember I got T.L. Osborne. You ever heard of T.L. Osborne? I got a hold of his book in seminary called Healing the Sick. And I think I poured salt on it and ate it. I tore the pages out and swallowed. I didn't do that. But it was like I did it. You ever had a book where you just wasted it in terms of, you underlined more than there was not underlined, you know? And I couldn't. I wanted to talk about just, I'd go home to on weekends sometimes to my parents, and they'd say, Dave, we're happy for you. Can you talk about something else than healing? I said, I'm full up with it. I was looking on the campus for people to lay hands on. Did you find them? Yeah. Did they get healed? Yeah, a lot of them did. You know, were you embarrassed? No. Because I got reading this book, and I said, man, I don't want to know. And so my parents, you know, they went with it. So we just look at that. Now, let me go on here a minute. So Hebrews 13:8. Let's go ahead and see that one. Because a lot of times people say this. Does God still heal? Jesus Christ is the same. Say the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He healed 2,000 years ago. He heals today, and he will heal tomorrow. He never stopped. A lot of people, they want to be dispensational. Well, you know, the dispensation of healing is not here. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. End of conversation. All right? So what about grace? People say, Lord, look at all the things I have done for you this week. How many know that's not cool? Right? You're co-labor with God. Tell your neighbor, you are a co-laborer with God. Let's look at Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense, that's Adam, right? Death reigned through the one, much more. I love this. Say, I'm a much more person. Much more those who receive abundance of grace. How many know you've received abundance of grace? Lean over and tell your neighbor, you especially have received an abundance of grace. Go ahead and tell. And the gift of righteousness. How many know that gift means you didn't earn it? Gift means it was given to you. Gift means you can never earn it. Ever. Yeah. And the abundance of grace. And see, and when we know this and we embrace it, it brings peace. It brings peace. We know where we're going. We know where CC's going. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you know where you're going. Praise the Lord. You've sat under this ministry for a while. The gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace. You will reign in heaven. Doesn't say that, does it? We will reign in heaven, but it doesn't say that here. It says we'll reign in life. How many know he's talking about right now? If you're from the deep south, you say right now, okay? You are reigning right now by the abundance of God's grace. Tell your neighbor that. Go ahead and tell him. They need to hear it. All right. Some think the age of miracles has passed. Others mix. Don't mix this. Others mix grace and works. Can't do it. And they receive nothing. But there is no rest in their faith. Only striving. Don't like striving. Let's look at Hebrews 4:10, Passion Translation. As we enter into God's faith rest life, say, I've entered. See, here's an easy way to think about it. Whatever he tells you, if he whispers in your ear, do this, do it. Don't spend all afternoon weighing, you know, can I afford it? You lose your rest, right? You lose your peace. Just do what he says do. As we enter into God's rest life, we cease from our own works. How many know it doesn't depend on you? Now, it depends on you to do what he tells you to do. But how many know it doesn't depend on you otherwise? Just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. Praise God. All right. Now, I'm going to get into some cool things here. What then is God's response be as we embrace the how and the what? Those are the fill-ins. What then is God's response as we embrace the how and the what? Say, Pastor Dave, I've done what you said in the how part. I'm doing what he says in the what part of hearing his word. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians. There's some really cool, really cool stuff. You lean over and tell your neighbor, get ready for some cool stuff. All right, so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 10 in the Passion Translation. Here's my point, Paul says. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest. But the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Now, The interesting thing is, and I believe it's in the sixth verse. I want to just check it. No, it's the eighth verse. Okay, we'll get there. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. I got to do it. I don't want to do it. As Lorraine, or whoever's taking the offering, pries the dollar bill out of your hand. We're not going to do that. We don't do that. Thou shalt not pry. Okay, we're not gonna do that. I'm being funny, right? So, but let it spring up freely from the joy of giving. How many of you have given to people or to the Lord or whatever, and you were so happy about it? That's the way we ought to be, right? All because God loves hilarious generosity. If you feel like laughing when you come up here, it's okay. You know, now I'm being a little facetious, but seriously. Now here, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. And this part, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace. There's a word here, and I believe it's the overwhelm part. It's called, and I didn't see this in this till this morning. Let me write it out for you. Let me just spell it out for you, and I'll tell you what it means. A-U-T-A-R-K-E-I-A. Autarkia, I believe it means. And it means he can make you independently wealthy. That's what it means in the Greek language. Say, I vote for that. Absolutely. Now, listen to this. The word supplies in verse 10 that we just read, and it's in your notes, is epikorio. This is a tongue twister. Epikorigio. Epikorigio. And here's what it means. This is powerful. I had not seen this. Someone who pays, that's what the word means, it's powerful. Someone who pays all expenses for a drama or choir plus more, providing income for all those who take part. How many get the picture? That paints a picture, folks. That means God's standing behind his word, and he's not only good for it, but he will go over and above what you can even believe for. How many know we serve that kind of God? I said we serve that kind of God. Yes. Praise God. Let me read that again. I think it's so cool. Someone who pays all expenses, say, I want to get involved in doing sowing seed or giving to, you know, for Cece's funeral or as you have done or just whatever God tells you to do. He will stand behind you. Your tither, he will stand behind you. Someone who pays all expenses for a drama. You're part of the divine drama, praise the Lord. You are part of the divine drama that is bringing the gospel of the kingdom of God to the earth. Amen? It's getting the word out, getting the word out, getting the word out. Loving people, loving God, loving each other, praise God, right? So someone who pays all the expenses for a drama or choir, plus more, providing income for everybody who takes part. Ooh, that's the more than enough God we serve. God is seen as the divine leader of this choir or church of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing his kingdom to earth. Man. But then I'll give you the latter part. It says, we have to be invested ourselves in the drama of the ages. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. We have, and when I say we have to be invested, I'm mainly talking about we need to be invested with our lives. I'm not just talking about money. We need to be invested with our lives, right? Okay. Thank you for that thundering amen. But we do. Just saying. Now, as we grow in experience with God's supply, our trust increases 30, 60, 100-fold, both in our hearts and then in reality. I have this story I need to share with you. We were pastoring a church in Louisiana. It wasn't in New Orleans, but it was another city. And the Holy Spirit, after 3 years, the Holy Spirit told Ananias, said, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go across the country. I had received a prophetic word. Many of you have heard this. Many of you have not. 1968, as a student at the seminary, I had received a prophetic word from Pastor Charles Green. I didn't know him. He had come in as a prophet to Philadelphia Gospel Temple, where I was going. Pastor John Poole was the senior guy there. And the Holy Spirit called me out of the crowd on the second day of prophetic ministry. He called me out. I knelt down. The word of the Lord came over me. He said, you have taken a spiritual inventory of yourself, which I had done. I literally took an inventory before I went down and knelt down in front of the prophets, because I didn't know what to expect. And so I did. I wrote areas of my life that I had victory, areas of my life I didn't have victory, that I wanted victory. And so I just piled them together, wrote them all down. The prophetic word said, you have taken a spiritual inventory of yourself. I'm going, yeah, that's right. And you have said, this I must turn from and this I must lay aside. But he said, God's been stripping you. I think, oh, Jesus, not really. How many don't, you don't like that word, you know? And he said, God's been stripping you, and he's going to strip you of everything that you'd count on in the natural. But he said, if you will endure it, he said, then the time will come when the anointing will combine with my word, and I will send you across this nation. I was not married at the time. I will send you across this nation as an evangel. He said, signs will follow your ministry. I've had a lot of signs shared with you. And he said, no one will stand before you all the days of your life. He said, signs will follow your ministry. Then you will come to a city, and you will plant a church in that city. And you will arise in that city and say, I'm speaking to this city about the kingdom of God. And behold, a remnant will come. You know, hi, remnant. Goodness, bless you. Well, wow, that's a heavy word. Matter of fact, I felt like, this is too much for me right now. I can't handle that. And I said, I need to come under authority. I need to be groomed. And so I was groomed for a long time, Ina and I both. So about 28 years later, God said, now is the time to, I'm sending you out. I'd already been a part of a church and helped pastor another, was a senior pastor of another church. And the Lord said, now I want you to go. Now is the time to go across the country. I went, okay. What do I do now? I don't have any contacts. Don't know what to do. The Lord said, sit down. I prayed in the spirit a little bit. Just letting you in on how I function. So I said, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to go. Don't have any open doors. You know, nobody wants me. So he said, I didn't cry, but he said, okay, you and I make a list of 30 people over the last few years that you've touched their lives, and they would be willing to support you, support your ministry for 1 year. And he said, you don't write them, you call them. So Ina and I sat down, we made a list of them, we went ahead and called them, and they said, every one of them said yes. And I didn't tell them how much. I said, that's just between you and God. Whatever the Lord tells you, that's what you do. So then, how many of you take one step? Hi, God. What now? Doors started opening. Offers started to come. I'm wanted. No. Calls started coming in. I went, wow. And for the first couple months, I was filled up, you know. And the Lord says, oh, by the way, he said, when you go, I'm doubling your salary because you're working for me directly. He said, so don't worry about it. He said, you have the money that's coming in for you every month from these partners. And he said, wherever you go, he said, it doesn't matter if it's big or small. It's going to be the same every month, but it'll be double. And it was exactly that. So at the end of the year, the Holy Spirit said, now we're ready for the next part of the prophecy. I'm reading prophecy. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm supposed to do a, she and I are supposed to do a church plant. So he sent us to the city. And I told all the our team, our partners, I said, look, you don't have to continue to support me. Because, you know, we're planting this church. Every single one of them came back and said, no, we have been so blessed doing this. The return has been so wonderful. You're going to need some time before that thing really gets established. I said, yeah, I guess you're right, you know. And but for the next 3 years, they were faithful. And then when the finances were where they ought to be, they quit. They stopped. You know, we're thanking, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So all I'm saying to you is, as you take a step, how and what, and do what he tells you, it's really easy. It's grace. It's easy. God will open the doors and make a new way for you. Amen? And the Lord is saying to you, by the word of Jesus Christ, right now I'm telling you, that as you come down here today, we're going to push this back and I'm going to have the altar team come. I'm asking the altar team to bless your finances. I don't want you to bring any offerings or anything. You come down here, they're going to lay hands on you, you're going to bless your offering. And if you were at 30, you're going to 60. If you were at 60, you're going to 100. Okay? How many, you're good with that? You're all right with it? All right. So get ready. So, altar team, come on.